The passage is the parable of the prodigal son, prodigal and his brother, from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in desolate living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would have gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' May God add a blessing to us through these holy words."
You know, on this past Thursday, on 4th of July, I came across several cartoons posted on Facebook that they aim to critique our state of affairs in the midst of celebrating Independence Day as the home of the free because of the brave. One in particular that caught my imagination also tugged at my heart. And that was the picture of the Statue of Liberty taking the knee with the torch of liberty knocked out of her hand. Lady Liberty is looking down at the brown dead parent and child draped over her lap. More than usual, 4th of July this year seemed to be fraught with many emotions. The year my church on the East Coast celebrated her new ministry as the Spiritual Renewal Center, our associate conference minister expressed that many of our Christian colleagues were fraught with confusion that how a Christian church, my church, could embrace a multifaceted Spiritual Renewal Center as her ministry. So I invited our associated conference minister to the grand opening celebration to see for himself. On that day, I had been told that Ron Zaleski of the Long Walk Home Project was eager to come and see how he might participate in our new ministry. I was more than eager to meet Ron. What I was told about him was fascinating. Ron was an ex-Marine who suffered from PTSD. In 2006, he started his year-long barefoot walk of the entire Appalachian Trail, barefoot. His concerns was for the 22 vets that commit suicide every day. His aim was that there would be a required mandatory counseling for all military personnel prior to discharge. He wanted them to start the healing process before they even got out of the war and got home. On that day of the Spiritual Renewal Center grand opening, my associate conference minister and I got to meet Ron personally. Fresh home from his walk of the Appalachian Trail, Ron's hair was long and straggly, and his beard was gruff. As I gave Ron a big welcome home hug, I couldn't help but look down at his blistered and banged up and battered feet. You know, today we're told in Luke's gospel about the prodigal son. Apparently, the scripture tells us he came to himself after squandering his property and dissolute living. He returned home barefoot. Commentaries tell us that coming to himself meant we affirm human capacity to renounce foolish error and reclaim one's heritage and potential. Now, the father in the story, if you read it carefully, seems to be on a long, long waiting journey for his son's return. Upon spotting the boy way off in the distance, he does something which no father in ancient time with integrity would do. He runs to meet him. He puts his arm around him and he kisses him. As the boy starts his confession about father, father, the father does not even stop to listen. His father orders the servant to get out the best robe, a ring, and sandals for his feet, and to begin the celebration of his return by getting a fatted calf. His gestures, the gestures alone, speaks volumes as if to say to the wayward boy, "No worries, my son. You are lost, but you are now found. A family can be reconciled." In the musical The Lion King, Meerkat and Warthog teach Simba the most powerful phrase, Hakuna Matata, the problem-free philosophy. With this phrase, Timon and Pumbaa teach Simba to replace his worries with happiness, love, and hope so that he can come home to his glorious true self. You know, maybe today you identify your true self with the prodigal son. Or maybe today you identify your true self with the elder son, who only refers, note carefully, he only refers to the prodigal as his father's son. He never calls him brother. Commentaries specifically reflect on the second half of the parable sharing, that one cannot be a son without being a brother, reminding us, unfortunately, in life, we learn to demand our rights before we learn to value our relationships. Richard Rohr, in his spiritual reflection for Independence Day, writes about the cost of demanding individual rights at the expense of valuing a relationship. So I invite you to read this quote with me from the screen. A democracy cannot survive if various groups and individuals only pull away in different directions. The Constitution underscores the fact that we are rooted and raised in a communal society and that we each have a responsibility to build up the whole. I believe in the telling of the prodigal, Jesus emphasizes in the first half of the parable that our journey is a legacy of God's love for us, begins with ourselves, but then it invites us to seek reconciliation with all of God's people and all of God's creation through restoring all relationships. We're invited not only to defend our civil rights as God's beloved, but our familial relationships as well, and to build up the whole as citizens of God's reign on earth. So as a community of we God's beloved, not I God's beloved, we God's beloved, I invite you, no matter where you are or who you are in life's journey, to help keep the promise of we the people alive. And in closing, I'd like to share the words of UCC author Mary Luty. and a reflection. It's entitled, "Oh Say Can You See?" She says to us, "I often hear people say they're shocked by the bigotry and cruelty of our current political climate. This isn't the America we know," they cry. "How could we have fallen so far?" But we haven't fallen from the way we were. There's never been a golden time when life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness were equally an offer for all. Those ideas, she says to us, always have existed in the distance, ahead of us, not behind us. The wondrous thing is that millions have lived and died for that anyway. Even people who systematically have been cut off from their benefits, who've always had to view liberty and justice for all from a greater distance than most. A crucial task of our citizenship is to persevere, to keep believing in that promise, to remain tantalized by it, convinced that one day we'll get close enough to see life light up for many in its glow. This persevering hope is the definition of patriotism. The 4th of July is best observed not as a celebration of who we are or who we used to be, but as a great communal scan of the horizon in determined search for those ideals, however far off, however hazy in the eye. So whether it be by dawn's early light or twilight's last gleaming, she invites you to get up on your tiptoes and see if you can see them in the distance. If you can, greet them with persevering hope. Ask others if they can see them too, and do something, one small thing, to close the distance, the painful distance between us and their fulfillment for a little more. Thanks be to God. Amen.